He take a big risk by having me here. The topic of this sermon is always be my dad. So it's a bit not easy for me. I will share a bit later. But one key thing I want to tell you, Chi Ping sang very well just now.
Yes.
Yeah. He's from my life group, okay? Yes. One thing, next time you need him, I know I want him to come to Gateway more already, but I wouldn't lose him. But the key thing is he composes a lot of songs. So he got a lot of new songs every time when he's in the live group. I say, please sing your song so that we can learn from you. So he composed a lot of good songs. So please, you know, fully utilize him. That's good. That's a message to Pastor Paul Singh. We talk about you in Langkawi also. While we are karaokeing, we talk about you. But really, thank you, Pastor Paul Singh, for having me in Every Nation Gateway. It's been my honor to come to share today. And I think I just want to honor you because if you all know him, he's a very successful CEO. And being a successful CEO, he can actually go to all the Caribbean islands, Cuba, then go to Honduras, go to El Salvador. Everything, holiday, every time, right? But he did not. He chose to do something that is many CEO don't do, is actually do the Great Commission of God. So he's fulfilling Matthew 28, right? So that is the one thing I want to honor him, that he really want to fulfill what God want him to do to make disciples. So, Pastor Paul Singh, you are my hero. Okay, the topic I'm given for Father's Day is always be my dad, and it's not easy every time you talk about being a dad. For example, right, I used to run ASEAN business. It's a $200 million US net profit business. Wow. It's not small, right? So, and I have a $20 million US dollar money to spend. So nice, right? You got $20 million to spend. Then when China have issue, like Jenny say, I have to go and set a culture, right? And I'm giving $69 million US dollar to spend. Wow. So yeah, so you have a lot of money to spend for people like me. So when I spend money, that's where I also make mistake. Right, so the more money you have, you also make a lot of mistakes when you're spending. So that's why, if you want consultant to find out what mistake I make, then I can tell you, because I got all the money to spend, make some small mistake, doesn't matter, right? So if you have a company, you need me to tell you what to make and what not to make mistakes, so I can share with you. It's the same way, talking about being father. I think the only qualification I have to share on Father's Day is actually I make the most mistake as a father. Okay, so all fathers make mistakes, but I think I'm one of them that make a lot of mistakes as my children grow up. So I'd like to share with you the next slide on my family. Okay, this is my family. Some of you have seen my family before. So this is a 9 years ago photo. Yeah, if you look at my wife, I love her very much to bits. This is our 28 years anniversary.
Wow.
So yeah, I always tell her that she looked the same. She's beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Then you see the next picture. Okay. So this is just end of December last year. Yeah. So the only thing I tell my wife, look at the two pictures. We didn't plan it. We go back to the same place, Hong Kong, Disneyland. Wow. We stand at the same place. We never plan. Then we just stand at the same right position. My second son with me, and just that way, you know. Oh. It's perfect. I told my wife, we never plan it. You know, the two photos came out the same after 9 years. And I said, there's one thing never changed. Then he told me, don't talk nonsense again. I said, no, I'm not trying to say you. I said, Donald Duck stay the same. Don't tell my wife. Yeah, Donald Duck stay the same, right? We all grow older, my children grow bigger, but Donald Duck stay the same.
Your wife looks still the same.
Yeah, my wife looks still the same, yeah. Yes, thank you. thanks for saying, because he's not the first one. Many people told me that, right?
Ah.
So, yeah, because of that, I'm a bit insecure. So at home, every time I look at the mirror, I say, wow, you're a privileged lady. Just look how handsome I am, right? Every morning. So get used to it. She got used to it. Because nobody praised me, so I have to praise myself, okay? But it's been a joy for me having my family. One of the greatest joy for me is I don't know, when you're working, you're very busy, right? But for me, one of my greatest joy is all my three children I managed to, I don't know whether it's still the same, every month you go for maternity checkup, those sort of things. I make sure every month I wake up 6 a.m. for all the three kids. For every month, one day I wake up 6 a.m., go and book, get the number, came back home, go to the hospital, not near actually, last time, no highway, right? So go there, book the number, come back home, pick my children. We never go missing. If the first one's no children, the second one, bring two together, right? One together, then the next one, bring two together. Also, two will go. So every time, all will go. That's what I do dutifully. Every month, I do that for all my children. And the joy is when I'm in the room when they get delivered. So it's bring a lot of joy to me every time I tell them story, right, about how much joy bring to me as a father going through the whole process of fatherhood. Of course, at the same time, I also want to say that because of work, sometimes you miss certain things in life. For example, my first son, when he started cycling, I missed that. And I feel very bad, right, because my maid is the one that, my helper is the one that saw him cycle. So I really feel, until now, I remember that. That's so many years ago. So in life, there's a lot of joy and also misses. And I live to handle both, to balance my life, because I wanted to be a successful in corporate life and successful in family and successful in where I love most, to serve God. So it's all need to be balanced. I might have missed some, but do I have big regrets? Not really, but I love to be there for my son all the time, all my children. Yeah. So, but one thing I want to say that is, you all of us, if we really submit to God, I think we can be having all three things or even more in your life, and God will really bless you. Yeah. So that's why I want to start. Always be my dad. The challenge is always be my dad. Well, can I have the next slide? Okay, I want to share something about two key verses I'm going to pinpoint. One is on the great love of Father. Oh, so sorry. Yes, there. I'm trying to look for the monitor in the Puchong Church monitor in the front. Okay, so we talk about great love and Father. So I'm going to share a bit about the love of Father, which Jackie has rightfully pointed out some of the verses. The next slide. I want to talk about Malachi 4:6. I want to focus on the word keyword turn. What happened at the end of the Old Testament before the New Testament. Okay, so let me have the next slide. Okay, the importance of a father in the child's life. Anyone can father a child, but being a dad takes a lifetime. You understand, right, this message? Everyone can be a father. Some people by mistake become a father. So, it's true, right? I mean, we are all adults here. Hopefully no kids. Oh, yeah, they're kids. So, yes, things do happen that people sometimes can become a father, not planned. And sometimes it's just naturally they thought, I can be a father. Father doesn't mean that when you have a child, you're a father, right? But a father actually take much larger role in what I'm going to share with you. Yeah. Okay, statistics. A recent survey showed that, this is a United States statistics, so I don't have it in Malaysia, I tried to find. Those men that have been jailed, in a jail, those who have contact with the outside world, 98% of all these convicts have relationship, or contacted their mom. Only 2% contact their father. All the people that is convict in the jail. Ponder about that. The second statistics I have is 63% of people that do not have their father figures around, are more likely to run away from home. And 39% more likely to actually take drugs. So that is how high it is. And boys and girls without father involvement are twice likely to drop off from school, twice more likely to go to jail, and four times they have behavioral issue. So I just want to state this reason is because the society actually do not put the emphasis on father as a role model in the household. It's very important because sometimes we actually put everything thinking that the mother is the one that raised the children. Yes, the mother do raise children. They are very good at it, okay? I'm just saying the father play a very important role in doing that. There's few things I want to talk about quickly about how the challenges in the modern world, because the modern world actually causes us to have a mindset that thinking this is the new way of parenting, and that's how it should be parent. The first one is the fear of our children. So the question is, who is in charge? If you see now, right, I think the children are in charge. If you go to certain place in the mall, whatever, or in the restaurant, you realize the children are in charge. Why I say so? Because if, let's say, you buy a small pink drinking bottle for your daughters, and, of course, some girls like pink bottle, right? If at one time you serve her another color, a blue color, and she insists that one, the pink one, and you have to run across the kitchen to clean the pink color and bring back to your daughter so that she want to drink some water, then actually the one that's in charge is your daughter and not you. Okay? So who is in charge? The first thing, I think the way we think now is that way. The second is the lowering of standard. Nowadays, I realize a lot of parents, I'm not saying my generation don't have, I'm saying yes, we have. But I realize more and more that the standard has been lowered in such a way that we do not expect high standard from our children. Why I say that? When we raise our children, we never say you must clean the plate after you wash. Kakak can clean. So that is one thing, right? And the second thing that you realize is the children, when they are eating in restaurant, is actually they cannot sit quietly. So what they do is because you think they cannot sit quietly, you have to follow them. After father eat, mother follow. After mother eat, father follow. Okay? So actually, you can set a standard, I'm saying. You can. If you set the right standard, your children actually can have that standard of sitting down. And then you become the parents and tell people how you do it, okay? So many children don't do that. The third thing is the loss of village and community. When I grew up at time, sometimes in a place that I grew up, if I go to holiday with my auntie and uncle and all those, all of them can discipline me, not only my father. If I go to school, the teacher can discipline me. And nowadays, no one can discipline the young child because only the parents can discipline. Or the parents don't allow other people to discipline. And because of that, the whole community cannot come together to help to take care of your child. For example, if I make anything wrong, I go to catch longkang fish. Nah, last time you all don't do that. I go to longkang and catch fish. My mother told me I cannot go. But I still go, right? So somehow my mother will know. Because some neighbor, auntie, or somehow they will find out, right? So let my mom know. So this community is gone, right? So I think one of the key things that the world has lost is actually the loss of this. And just imagine, right, if a mother or a father, right, teaching a child in a supermarket and the child throwing tantrum, is the father standing firm and saying, no, you can't do that? If you walk past, what should you do? You don't go and just say, oh, this father lousy, cannot take care of the crying baby. But you should say, sir, well done, good job, continue. It's difficult to set a standard, you are setting it right, okay? So that is what you should do. I remember one time when I was taking one of my son to the mall, and he threw a tantrum. I told him, no tantrum, right? So he said, yes. He said, yes, but before you go. But when he reached there, he threw a tantrum. So I said, when tantrum first thing throw, is all go home. And that time is tough for me because I have my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, yeah, and kids all. So when I throw tantrum, try to discipline, he doesn't listen. I say, okay, all cut short, go home. Wow. So we just arrived, right? So I'm sending a very clear message to my son. You throw tantrum, everything cancel. Go home, discipline, stay home. So after that, no more tantrum, okay? Everything we talk can be have conversation. Because I meant what I say, but of course I have hard time managing my in-laws after that, right? So, my in-laws stay with me. I will tell people I married three. Why? Father-in-law, mother-in-law, all together, right? So, the Muslims I married four. I also married three, you know. So, yeah, my in-laws stay with me until they pass away. I think people like Kevin and Nancy will have known my in-laws. So, It's been many years, right? So they stayed with me. So many, many years. And fourth thing is a shortcut. I think you all know all that because a lot of parenting now move to shortcut parenting where you have the child being parent through technology, okay? Screen, right? Sometimes I think it's good if you're on a plane, if your child is a bit restless because of flight, you have something, you want to respect other people, rest. Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah, I'm not saying all that is bad. But if you take shortcut in every parenting, just pass the screen to them, then that's where we need to watch out because parenting is not just about doing shortcut because if you allow them to do shortcut, that means they don't learn patience, how to be patient. If that happened in the long term, just imagine what are you teaching your children, right? Not everything in instant. I like what this Pastor Posing mentioned earlier. I just say, wow, you know, I really enjoy this service here, and I know people here are very high-powered, and young people here like what I call high energy, everything instant, fast. Then he mentioned, yeah, that's true. Everybody like instant, fast. But when it comes to serving God, you still have only three life group and all are pastor posting. So just think of that. So if you want instant, you want things fast, I think yeah, serve God also must be fast. Okay? Sorry for the straightforwardness in this. You know, when I start working God, I have never stopped serving God since I start working. That is nearly 28 years ago. Many years. Never stopped. Every year in, year out. Never get burnt out. Because I got a good pastor that I can talk to and I really want to burn out. Pastor Tim is really good. But we can have conversation and say, I nearly burn out. I'm traveling a lot and those type of conversation. Then I scale down, then I scale back up and those type of things, but I never stop. I think the key thing is when God call you to do something, you will do it because of what you, how God want it to be, right? So I explained to you all why amidst all these challenges, and prioritizing of children over adults quickly, I just want to say, in China, they get rid of the emperor, correct? In 1911. You all like history, I like history. I'm a science student, but I love history. So I went to Forbidden City 3 times just to look at the history, learn and go through everything. So I do that. I love history. 1911. Once they get rid of the emperor, then they come up with one child policy much later, right? Then they created millions of emperor. Do you know what I'm saying? They created so many little emperor because just imagine only one child, two parents, and four grandparents. So how the child's going to grow up to be? They call them the little emperor. So they want everything, everything life evolve around these children. So the child become the key person. The child has become the priority. So you become a very selfish child. I have the privilege to, I don't say I represent the understanding about the whole China situation, but I was in Shanghai for 6 months. So I was running the team there. I talk to the people. I do understand in Shanghai itself how the children behave. They are really emperor. Yeah. So their clothes, the small girl clothes, I talk to them, it's much more expensive than my whole set. You know, so that's how they are being, yeah. Emperors. Okay, can I have the next slide? I want to introduce this term to you, Father God. What do you mean by Father God? Okay, in the term Father God is actually in Christianity is when you move from someone that do not believe to someone that's believe. You are being adopted into a family. So, and when you are inside a family legally, you can call God the Father. And it's very important because this show how much in 1 John, can I make this slide? Why do Christians call Father God? Because Matthew 6:9 said, our Father in heaven. This is how Jesus teaches how to pray, our Father. And Romans 8:17 say, if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So we are fellow heirs with Christ because Jesus himself tells us that we are children of God. That's how, because we believe. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave right to become children of God. And that's why we have the right to call him Father God. And God is a perfect Father who loves you. That's why John 3:16, that's why he come to give us what his son so that we can have eternal life. So I want to tell you one very popular Christian writer called Max Lucado. And what did Max Lucado do? He's writing something quite interesting about how he says God's express love. If God has a refrigerator, how many of you like fridge magnet? Fridge magnet, you go traveling, you collect, you put there. I've been to Istanbul, you got one. I've been to Australia, you got another one. Some of you even collect by city, right? And I travel a lot because of work. And my colleague every time, boss, help me, you go in there. She's supposed to arrange my travel, but she every time make sure one of the itinerary I need to do is buy magnet for her, right? So some people just like the magnet. But if God got a magnet, he's going to have your face and put there. Because that's how God see you. If God got a wallet, he will open up his wallet and see your face is there. Okay? If God have a daughter, she will make sure she gives you flowers every spring on every special occasion. Yeah. Not only husband give to wife or father give to the daughter, but this is what God will do, right? And whenever there is a dark night, next day he'll make sure sunrise every morning for you. And you know, God, despite everything, he can choose to be anywhere, but God choose to reside in your heart. That is the place for him, because God really want to be there. God is loving, not controlling. God is close, not distant. And the most important thing is God is crazy about you. Yeah, because he want to be in your heart. That's what he is. Okay, I'm going to run through some slides quickly because I thought I want to cut short this one. I think it's not fair to me because I want to just highlight God's loving attributes and 21 attributes. Okay, God is loving. I won't go through. Kind, compassionate. Next slide. Giving. And this giving is not just a give. This one is really giving. John 3:16. Give the best, like what Jackie just mentioned just now. Give what that hurt him the most. Love him, and to give out is painful. So giving, faithful, merciful, okay? I think strong, forgiving, and good. Righteous, caring, sovereign. Shepherd, ever-present, and refuge. Ever-present is a very strong word, right? Because the title is always be my dad. I don't know whether we can always present. Like I mentioned just now, it's very difficult for me to always present wherever my children is. Okay, next one. Gracious, healer, and powerful. Next. Savior, helper, and renewer. Okay, with all these words that has been given to us, there's three more. Do you have three more? Oh, no more. Okay, sorry. I saw wrongly. Okay, so what happened is there's 21 attributes there. And these 21 attributes denotes who Father God is. And if, let's say, we want to be a father, you want to look at a role model as Father God, it's really challenging for us to follow exactly who Father God is. We can try, but we are not perfect. So our children actually do not need a perfect father as human beings. We do not. But our children need us to be there most of the time. And how can we be there if we are not perfect? We can be there even though, we can't be there even though we try our best. Even we love them, we need to forgive them as Jesus forgive them. We provide the best they can, protect, care, and everything, right? But the only thing I felt we can do is that our heart is with them always as a father. So I want to appeal to the heart. And one more thing besides from love, kindness to them, cheer them. One key word I want to say is whenever you realize you can't do any more thing as a father, the key word is, next one. Abraham Lincoln once said, I have often been driven to my knees by the conviction that there was no place to go. The next one. Fathers, being the head of the family at times, will be driven to their knees because there is no other place to go and pray. Okay. So I think one of the key things as a father is I've been father for 20 over years. My older son is 20 over years. So it's been a journey for me. And also many times I can tell you that I go on my knees to cry. And sometimes I cry because of their exam results. My children. my children are not the smartest, right? So sometimes I thought, oh, what are you going to do? I don't know how to do. I just tell God. Every time I went to see the teacher, when the teacher tried to tell me about certain characteristic about my children, so what I would do is I will always tell the teacher what's the character, how is he doing, right? So one of the incidents I can remember is this. Besides from praying, one day the teacher called me and said, your son, but the teacher when they call me is like principal, not teacher. He's a bit worried, you know, scared because, you know, when, now last time a teacher tell the parents, come over, you know, now the teacher a bit scared when call parents. Maybe because of the parents a bit fierce, right? So he a bit scared and said, Mr. Ng, I'm sorry, I have to tell you that your son misbehaved. And when your son misbehaved, actually, we're going to detain him to do cleaning of the toilet and the hall in the school. Wow, I said, wow. So that's how you respond. I said, what happened? He said, he played a fool, jokingly, made a lot of noise during assembly. So the first thing come to me is a few things I can look at. First thing I can respond is this. I can protect my son and deny whatever he has done. I said, maybe it's their friends that caused him to make noise. The second approach I can say is, I accept her judgment and say, okay, my son make a mistake. I say, no problem. Tell me what time. I call somebody to arrange a transport. That is my potential second option, right? So what other option do you think I did? Ask the son. My option is actually I told the teacher, thanks for letting me know. I do not know what happened to him, but I only have one request. I just say, okay, what do you request? Can I come to the school? I'm going to take leave to join my son in doing the cleaning. So that's my request to the teacher. I still can think of it because it's important to me, not only to show to my son I'm responsible for whatever he did, but I want to reach out to his heart. I want his heart to know that whatever I did is not whether the teacher is right or the your friends or whatever. That's not important. As long as he knows his heart is, there's a mistake being done. But I'm there for him to take the punishment together. So that is my response. The teacher was stunned. Don't know how to answer me because he was expecting either he get a scolding or he's going to get something from, say, okay, fine, what time I will arrange the transport. But he paused for a long while. He don't know what to do. So I said, I just request, what time is the cleaning? I will come over. I said, you're in office? I said, yeah, I'll take half day leave. I'll come over. So then the teacher, ting, until he said, okay, this never happened before. Then he said, I cannot let you come. If I let you come, then it's going to set a very different precedent for all the students. I said, I think it's good precedent if any father want to come there and take the punishment together with the son. I said, it's a good precedent. Then I said, okay, for this time, I'm going to cancel all the punishment for all the children. But that's not what I'm looking for, okay? I didn't look for that. I didn't want it to be cancelled. I want it to go on so that I can do together with my son. That, because I thought that would be a lesson for his heart. Not so much of me taking leave, right? So I thought, but the teacher cancelled it. So I told the teacher, I don't mind you go ahead because I really want to join. If you don't allow me to join clean together, I can clean another place. But they just say, no, I cannot allow you to do that. So because of that, I have a conversation with my son after that and explained to him, so what happened, right? So I just want him to know that I'm there for him, regardless of circumstances, right? So it's not easy, but you have to reach to the heart. And with that, actually, I want to share with you what Pastor Steve Murrell, one of our founder of Every Nation, talked about heart of parenting. He talked about parenting is three parts of hearts, right? One is the God heart. One is the parent's heart, and one is the children's heart. Okay, so you know we have to teach our children that God loves them. For them to understand that, sometimes we as parents have to show how God's love is for them, and it's not easy. If I show you all the 21 attributes just now, there's no way we can do it. But we can be the bridge to help them understand, so that they know that God's love for them is something that is real and something that is always there. So we need to bring that, bridge that gap. And the key thing for that is fatherhood actually and parenting itself is not fair. We have to realize that. If you are not father here or you are not mother here, you won't realize that. Sometimes you think you cry more for your son or your daughter or whatever. You do that more than them because you are so worried for them or you're concerned for them. You never realize until they are the one, okay? Become father later on or the mother later, they realize, oh, that's what my dad did. But until then, don't expect too much. I always joke with people that a man can raise 10 children, but sometimes you cannot expect 10 children to even take care of the father, right? So that is sometimes happen in the old generation of Chinese. The people here are very good people, so I don't think so that will happen. Because you honor your father and mother, right? And one key thing is important from Pastor Steve Moore's context is this. What a parent needs to do is make sure that children will make many mistakes in their life, okay? But we just need to forgive them again and again because that's the Father God's heart. But we need to then shape their heart so that in protecting their heart, we need to shape them because in response and discipline to appeal to their heart. So it's not so much important on the discipline itself, but the most important part is actually continuing to shape their heart so that they can continue to honor God, love God, and to serve God. So that's the key thing. Whatever we do, we need to appeal to the heart and shape the heart. With that, actually, I think let us move to the... Okay, let me quickly tell you this story. Then I want to tell this story because I see a lot of young people here. Okay, I thought this story on the share in Damansara, but I will share it quickly here. When I first accepted Christ, my father is really upset with me. Same like Pastor Po Sing, he want to kick me out from the house, and he doesn't want to. He want to disown me, and a lot of things happen. What happened is I'm a good son, right? I'm the one that served my father in dreams. When he come back from work, I do everything for him. But my father stopped speaking to me after I told him I'm a Christian. Literally stopped speaking. And of all the children, I'm the one that actually the most, I don't know how you say it, very quiet. So I am the one who do everything at home most of the time, follow instruction. So it hurt me when he doesn't want to speak anything to me. As a son, I want to appeal to my father's heart. So what I have done is, with God's grace, I did continuously for 6 months. Without my father acknowledging me. I bring drinks to him, put with him. He didn't even look at me. He walked away. Okay? That's how I get treated for 6 months. So I continue to do that. Whatever he need, I'll do and serve him. For 6 months, after 6 months, I consistently kind of doing things I need to do to show love to him and appeal to his heart. After 6 months, he start to acknowledge me. Just acknowledge. Okay? So that's great. For me, it's good enough. Right? So if you have someone like that in your heart, in your family, as a son, if your father is that way, I appeal to you to use your heart to love him. Love his heart so that you can move his heart. Do that. And I'm a bit of strategist, right? So when I got my girlfriend, my wife, so now ex-girlfriend, now become my wife, what happened is when I introduced her, there's another story of introduction. But when she get to know my dad, I make sure that my wife know my dad well so that my wife can connect with my father. Because my father, my wife is a very quiet woman, but so that I can need to link them. So it, with that, right, my father start to speak to my girlfriend more than me, right? So then slowly I come in, back in. So my father kind of, I link back after nearly 2-3 years, then we become very close again. But it take many years. Why I use my own heart to think of how, you know, using God's love in me to how to appeal to my father's heart. So use, as a son, if you are here, Father's Day, please use your heart to appeal and to your father's heart. I'm going to show you a quick video. Watch the video, then I will close it. Thank you. The video.
Yeah.
You know, none of us have a challenge of Dick. When Rick was born, cerebral palsy, can't move. They asked him to be passed to the institution. Passed to the institution means let him be. But Dick and the wife Judy decided to raise the child. And he actually graduated from high school. And also have a degree from Boston University. And they run 60 over marathon. 30 of them is the Boston Marathon. Not everybody can go and run marathon. Yeah? In Boston, you have to qualify. And with the wheelchair, everything, they qualify. And they have done 6 triathlon, the Ironman, 6 Ironman. So I just want to share with you all that the father, when you are with your child, let your heart reach out. To his heart, because that's how God reached out to us.
Yes.
And you please join all the parenting class, whatever, that's very important. That's technique. In every nation, we do a lot of that. It's important. But Father's Day, I just want to appeal you all. Reach out to the heart of your children. Thank you very much. That's possible.
How many of you enjoyed that? It's a powerful message from Pastor Mark. He gave a very good insight as to what a son and a father should be. But as the worship team is coming up, let me just reinforce what he has said with this verse from the Bible. It comes from Psalms 103, verse 13. 103, verse 13 says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." I repeat that. As a father has compassion on his children, So the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him, those who honor Him, those who are in awe of Him. And, you know, we as earthly fathers, we love our children, right? How many of your fathers here? Come on. Maybe really. If you're a father here, you have kids. You love them. Even if they mess up, right? I mean, just the story of Pastor Mark's kid in school, he messed up. But as a father, you know, we still love them. We have compassion on them. We want the best out of their lives. Even if we have to discipline them, even if we have to sometimes make life difficult for them, but yet it's done out of love. It's done out of our compassion for them, that we want them to be much better in life. And that goes with our Father in heaven. That goes with our Father in heaven. You know, many times we see God as, we see many aspects of God, but we may seldom see Him as a Father. We see Him as a healer. We see Him as a provider when we need something in life, when we need a project, when we need to get something through, we pray and we ask God, provide. That's great. You know, but seldom do we pray and ask Him, God, be my Father. You know, but such a big part of God is that He is a Father to us. You know, God the Father. Bible says God the Father. You know, and God has compassion for us. Despite the fact that we can mess up in our lives, sometimes we intentionally do it. Sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot. Okay. Create trouble for ourselves, but yet God, in His compassion for us, still loves us because He's a Father to us. Now, just watching that last video itself, you know, just watching that last video itself, the son is a handicap, and the father stood with him all the way in everything that he did in his life, whether it was going to school, whether he, as he grew up, whether he was running marathons, the father was always with him. And I want you to just picture this for yourself today, all right? Picture yourself as the handicapped child. You know, we may not be physically handicapped. Okay, we are all good in a way. We can run, we can do things on our own. We may not be physically handicapped, but we are spiritually handicapped. For sure, because of sin in our lives, we are handicapped in many ways. And despite that, God is with us every step of the way. Whatever shortfall you may have in your life, whatever shortfall you may have in your wisdom, in your emotions, whatever you are short in, God is there and He is running that race with us. How many believe that? How many really believe that? Come on. Why don't we all stand? Why don't we stand now? We're just going to pray. I just want to tell you that God loves you all. And you know, if you are here tonight, okay, if you are here tonight and you don't feel the concept, you have no concept of how God is a father to you, you've never had that relationship with Him. Okay, you may have come to church many times. You go to rallies and you go to different churches, maybe you come here tonight and but you never have that connection, that fatherly connection with God Himself, and you want that connection tonight. You want that father to run alongside with you in this race of life itself. You've never had that connection. You want that. If that's you tonight, I'll you raise up your hand. I'll pray with you that you can invite Jesus into your life, get connected to the Father Himself. If that's you tonight, come on. You've never had that connection. You've never felt it. And tonight, you just want to have that connection with Him. If that's you, just raise up your hands up high. Don't be shy. It's between you and God. It's between you and the Father, even right now, this very moment. Thank you, Lord. I see those hands. Thank you, Lord. I'll lead you in a prayer right now that will introduce you to Jesus. And thereafter is really your walk with Him, and that you can feel the love of the Father in your life. Amen. Just follow me in prayer. Dear Lord, I acknowledge I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. I thank you that you died on the cross for me, that you paid the penalty of my sin, that I may have eternal life today. Lord, I repent of my sins right now. I turn away from them and turn to you and invite you as my personal Lord and Savior. And right now, I receive this gift of eternal life. And I know for sure that I have this relationship with you. And I can feel your fatherly love for me. And even right now, I pray that you teach me to read your Bible, to know you more, and to walk a life pleasing to you. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's give God praise. Come on, right now. Just give a shout of praise. Come on. Higher praise. Come on, right across the room. Higher praise. Come on. Thank you, Lord. We're going to worship God in a while. After we worship, just stay back for a while. We just have some.